Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Right, get your Bibles out because what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish off in our series. We've been kind of tracking through Joseph, and I got told off by my wife for not teaching you enough. So I'm going to do a wee bit teachy today just to finish it off. She's going, no, get into the detail, Andrew. See this kind of skirting around the issue? We want the meat. And I was like, okay. So I had been making the assumption through this series that people know the story or broadly know the story. And if you don't know the story, then it's quite difficult. But to be fair, that you should try reading your Bible every day. It is unbelievable the kind of stuff you can learn, you know what I mean? When it's just chucking that out there, you know, every couple of days with Jesus will get you so far. And then every now and again, you got to dig into the Word, all right? And feed yourself well. And when you do that, there's loads of stuff you get to learn. But I'm going to be talking today about how your family will be blessed, because we've been talking, our key verse, although it's not from the series on Joseph, is Exodus 9, where it says, "For this purpose I have raised you up, says the Lord, to show you my glory, and also that my name may be seen in all of the earth." So I've been talking about a number of things, and I'm going to go proper T.D. Jakes at the end of this, all right? Because I realized when I was preparing that I had a proper T.D. Jakes moment. So see if we miss it, I'll give you a bit of a noise when you go, woo-hoo, all right? Because it's flipping brilliant. I ran it past one of the guys this week, past Gary, and he was like, oh, that's brilliant. Even TD wouldn't have come up with that. And so I'm feeling encouraged. I hope I don't miss it. I actually wrote it in my notes in case I miss it. But it's these things of bringing together all of the points that we've talked about over the last few weeks. And then I want to say that all of it is for the purpose that God has for you and for your family, which is that you will be blessed. And I am completely unashamed about that. You know, I don't know what your idea or your view of the Lord is, but let me tell you something. There is, without any shadow of a doubt, you cannot go to Scripture, right, and look at it through the lens of the gospel of grace and come away with any other conclusion other than Jesus loves me, this I know, and his heart and his desire and his will for me is that I would know his goodness and his love, his grace, his favor, and his unmerited goodness in my life, all my days, right? We sang it today, didn't we? You know, I'm confident of this, that I'll see his goodness, but it's not just for you, right? And we talked about that. We talked about purpose. That was our first P. And I said, without a strong sense and an understanding of why you have been given breath, everything in your life will become meaningless. So let me talk to you bluntly this morning. If you still find yourself in a place where nothing satisfies, okay, and nothing quite kind of makes you feel like you're disappointed in everyone and everything, What that means is that there's been a transfer of your dependence away from the Lord and the gospel to other people and other things. And the fruit of that will always be that they will let you down and they will disappoint you. There will always be a gap. Why? Because people were never meant to meet those needs for you. Jesus was meant to meet the need for you. It was Jesus first, and then everything flows from that gospel to you. And so when everything seems meaningless or like, you know, or frustrating or not enough, let me lift your eyes up again here this morning to see what grace has done for you. Because without that sense of purpose in your life, something to live for that's bigger than you and what you need, right? That's what the world does. The world is full of what do I need, what comes next, what's in it for me. That is fleshly thinking. Whereas the gospel says, actually, Jesus and his purpose for your life is so much bigger than just you and your stuff. All right, and so I was encouraging her, right? It doesn't matter whether it's money, position, ministry, family, work. Nothing will satisfy you. Why? Because God says, for this purpose I've raised you up, that you might know me, that's one bit, and at the same time, as you know me, the world sees it in you and through you. And that's the purpose that God gave you breath for. And many of us struggle because actually what comes is that's the point of real trust in God. You see, we can stand here with our arms in the air and say, yes, I trust you, Jesus, and sing it with all of our hearts. But there comes a point where we go, we've got to put something behind what the Lord has revealed to us. It's like where we, it's not like where we meet the Lord in the sense of we do our bit and therefore he does. It's he's already done, now what am I going to do in response to what he's done? Yeah. That's the whole tenet of Scripture from the very beginning of Genesis. God reveals, we respond. And we respond to what he has revealed. And if there's no response to what he is revealing, then we need to go back to the source and say, show me again. Because that's the whole way. That's why we worship, right? God says, this is who I am. I am your provider. I am your healer. I'm the one who looks after you. As we see that, not just in our heads, but we hear it in our hearts, our response is, thank you, Jesus. You see, revelation and response is the way that this has been set up. We're not under any obligation. We're not under any debt. We're not being forced. But the Lord says, as I reveal myself, okay, then what happens is let your heart be glad and rejoice and respond to my love. Now, I said, like, when we looked at Joseph, like, purpose is not about your comfort. That's what the world says, right? And so I was trying to encourage you for 2022 to go, if grace makes you selfish and grace makes you lazy, then it's not grace at all. That's not grace. Grace is Jesus-centered, not me and my need-centered. Do you get that? The focus of the gospel of grace is always on Jesus and his finished work. Who he is, what he has done, what he's revealing, and our heart responds to that. Now, the beautiful thing about the gospel is this, is that when we discover this, right, and I was trying to break that cycle, it's what it says in Luke 7, isn't it? That whoever has been forgiven much, what? Loves much. Forgives or loves much, depending on which. In Luke, he loves much. And so I was trying to encourage you that the thing that one of the things that will stop you from discovering that purpose that God has for you, which is to raise you up so that you get blessed and your family will sit in your presence and be fed by the Lord because of you, all right? That's the bottom line. Like, there's no point in singing, I'll see your goodness in the land of the living, if somewhere in our hearts we don't believe it. That's what he wants for you. Think about your partners, your husbands, your wives, your kids, your aunts, your uncles, those people around you, your children, your grandchildren. The heart of God, you can be glad this morning, go, his heart is that because of what he's doing in my life, they're going to be blessed, not just in this generation, but in the generations to come. Like, that's purpose, right? That's why he's raised you up. And I said, don't let the flesh get in the way. You know, there's lots of times, and I was pretty straight on this one, Romans 8:13, Galatians 5:13, both of them say this, for if you live according to the flesh, you'll die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For you are called to freedom. Only don't use that freedom that you've been given as an opportunity to indulge the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Isn't that incredible? So what it says is we do have the opportunity to go, God's grace is unearned, undeserved, and unmerited. And I'll just gather it all up as much as I can for me. You have that opportunity. But what Paul says is don't do it that way. Because he saw something bigger and greater in the call of God on your life. To go, self is a never-ending pit that you will never satisfy. You'll always live disappointed with other people. You'll live disappointed with yourself. And ultimately, you'll be disappointed in God. Because what goes on in your life will not reflect the view that you should have in your heart. But what I was encouraging you for is this. Joseph, as a young guy, had something in his heart where he went, I don't know how it's going to work out. He made a complete mess of trying to talk about it. But there was something in him that went, there's something that God's put in me. God was going to develop and mature him and bring all of that out over the years in prison and the years of everywhere else. But he knew that he had a God-given assignment, if you like. And he never lost sight of that. And so I've been encouraging that the P for purpose is a biggie. You know, it's like in Luke 10:2, remember I said this? It's like I've reminisced. Do you know what I've started to do? And listen, Penny's not, where is Penny? Is Penny here? Has she been raptured? Is she downstairs? Brilliant. I just noticed my wife's not here and she normally is. It's her birthday tomorrow, by the way, so make sure you say happy birthday to her, if you don't mind. You know, I sometimes on a Saturday night, I get a wee bit morose on a Saturday night. You know what I mean? When you think about your life and how it's got to be like this and the struggles, I'm only joking, the struggles you have. And I sit there just with a glass of wine looking out into the garden thinking, no, I'm only joking. I don't, but I love to go on Spotify on a Saturday night when I'm making the dinner. And I've created a nostalgic worship list. It's amazing, right? If you were around church in the 1980s, I promise you, as soon as I started to play it, the kids left the room, the dog started to cry, Penny was going to divorce me, but I was back in my church in 1986 as a spotty teenager with my hands in the air, praising Jesus. It's amazing. The songs are so bad, they will make you cry. Honest to goodness, we're thinking, how did anyone ever get to a service with this stuff? It's complete rubbish, but I love it. I just love it. Totally nostalgic. And I found myself a couple of Saturday nights ago, I couldn't help it, when one particular song came in, I was standing in my kitchen, and I was turning to the north, the south, the east, and the west. You know all the things I've been joking about? Like, why would you do that? But there I was in my kitchen praying over my neighbors like that. I've never spoken to them, but you don't need to speak to them as long as you can pray over them from 40 feet away, right? All that stuff. Oh, Jesus. I'm thinking, this is awesome. I was right. I say, for those of you who don't know, email me and I'll send you the list. You'll be transported into the presence of Jesus. But what was really interesting, I was saying the thing about purpose is this. Then I wised up and went, remember it says in Luke 10, when Jesus didn't do that, we're not told to pray for the harvest. What are we told to pray for? Laborers. Why? Because Jesus says the harvest is already there. So many of us have got the wrong view of this. Lord, send your... Like, can I just say this? I was listening to something during the week. And it was like, we are crying out for God to move. And I think, how much more moving does he need to do? He left heaven. He took on the form of a man. He walked amongst us. He went to a cross and he took on the whole of sin and death for all men, all women, all people, for all of eternity. He already came. And he said, actually, as he was going, it's better for me to go back because now you have my spirit in you. Yes. And greater things will you do now that I live in you and I'm not just around you. Yeah. Amen. So don't be, honestly, what I would say is, of course, pray. I'm not saying don't. This is where this gets put on the internet. Our pastor says you don't need to pray anymore. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. As I stood in, I don't know what I was doing to my neighbors, right? I was doing something. I was giving it all that there. If they had seen me, they probably would have been on, well, here, any chance, send an ambulance, right? I was giving it all this. And I just kind of felt, Luke 10, quite frankly, the Lord says they're already ready. The harvest is there. Isn't that brilliant to know? You see, do you know what I think it is? I think it's something that changes in our thinking. Where we move from a place of inadequacy and God, will you do, to a place of authority, which is, thank you, Jesus, you have done. That's grace. So when we look at our families, when we look at our kids, when we look at where they're at, we don't come at it from a place of fear and God, will you move? But Jesus, you have moved for them. Over my kids today, I can say you love them way more than I could ever love them. And I would take a bullet for any one of my kids. But Jesus says, really? Out of the way till I show you what real love looks like. And so whenever we move, instead of saying, Lord, will you, we go from Lord, from that place to God, you have done, that's when we start to operate in our purpose. To be men and women of faith, to go, he's put it in my heart. I don't know how it's going to work out necessarily, but I stand here today and I believe, right? I believe that I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life and in theirs. Why? Because he said so. Amen. Of course, pray, do that. You know, all of the rest of it. But it's not either or, it's both. You get that? It's not either or, it's both. And I promise Penny, I'm not going to play those songs again. Born into a battle, anyone? Anyone know these? Shine, Jesus, shine. Oh, come on. Everyone's a winner. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Just email the office and we'll get that out to you. Shine, Jesus. Shine. What was the other one? We want to see Jesus lifted high. Remember that? Oh, come on. They're so bad. Absolutely awful. So the second thing is this, right? Absolutely terrible. Makes me chuckle, though. I guess why I'm saying, look, for 2022, don't go around in a circle of meaningless and disappointment. Because as soon as you encounter the God of grace, he gives you hope and a future. Yeah. And he says, this is your purpose. To enjoy me for sure, but don't put a full stop there. Now, and the beautiful thing is, in all of your inadequacy, in all of your mess, in all of your failure, in all of the ways that you get it wrong, doesn't matter one bit, it's God in you. I said it's not your responsibility to save anyone. You know, we get under pressure and go, oh, are they ready to hear the gospel? Well, listen, Jesus saves them, not you. Yeah. But all he says is, when you listen to me, when you're with that person, when you listen and you hear me speak and prompt, just do what I ask. And it might just be one wee drop in their process. Yeah. Stop worrying about getting them to the end of the process. Let the Lord worry about that. Just you do your bit, all right? And he'll take care of the rest. Amen? And then, you know, I was trying to encourage you to go, how do you know that you are successful already? How do you go from that inadequacy to a place of authority? And what I said was, his presence is your success. The Lord was with Joseph, it says in Genesis 39:2. Now listen to this. And he became a successful or a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Really interesting. I actually skipped over this, but I want to just say it. I skipped over this particular bit of second part B of this verse. All right, but it says, the Lord, what makes Joseph successful? The presence of the Lord. The presence of Jesus prospers you in your Egyptian master's house. What that means is in a place that you never chose, you don't want to be, and given your own thinking, you'd probably be somewhere else. And the Lord says to you this morning, every one of you, you might not be where you think you need to be. You might not even be where you want to be. You might even go, I didn't choose to have my life look like what it is now. And the Lord says, I don't look from the outside in, I look from the inside out. And if I'm with you, you are prospered. Amen? That's a mindset shift for some of us. Because we get that God-given purpose, we need to understand that grace is imparted to us every day through his presence. You see, the world works from the outside in. Grace works from the inside out. So don't define your life by what you can see on the outside, because that's not the way the Lord views it. If you have the Spirit of Jesus, you've got the Spirit of grace in you today, then you are successful. Somebody say amen and go, I am successful. I am prospered and I am blessed. And even if you can't see it with these eyes, let me tell you something. The Word says he is working even if you can't see it. And we need to have a shift in our thinking, because, you know, we too quickly define our lot by what is missing. Joseph never did that. You never hear Joseph going, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have the other. In the Egyptian's house, in the prison, no matter where he is, he goes, God is with me. It's almost like he's blinkered to everything else. I think the problem sometimes with us is that we have so many sources of ingress into our lives with Twitter and Insta and Facebook and your Aunt Aggie and everybody else who has an opinion, Doris on the checkout at Tesco telling you about the price of oil and everything else in between, all going da, 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 da. And it takes away, it eats away at our ability to stand and to believe that I'll see the goodness of God. And what happens is this, above anything else, this week and in the weeks to come, if you get up in the morning and you go, today, I might not be feeling it, seeing it, and I might not be where I want to be, but I am successful. Why? Because I've got the presence of Jesus in me. That's what Joseph does. It's brilliant. You know, it's like, what I love about this is people notice presence. That's a borderline TD moment there, isn't it? People notice presence. They can feel it. It touches them like nothing else. It's like deep calling out to deep, the Word says. You know, if you want to see people in your life turned around, changed, can I just say people notice the presence of God? They can't define it, but there's something in them that goes, what is this about? When you walk into the room, when you bring about, you know, just a word of encouragement, when you speak the truth and you just trust God that whatever seed has been planted, he will water and somebody else will water it, it'll bring about the desired effect. Can I just say, people notice presence, and that presence will bring you promotion. That's what we also know. It moves you to a place of influence. So sort of what I was trying to encourage you to do through this series is saying, stop worrying about your strategy, the strategy for your family, the strategy for your year, your strategy for this, your strategy for that. If you concentrated more every day on the presence of Jesus in your life, of feeding on the word of grace every day, of keeping your eyes up onto who he is, then can I just tell you, he is the one who orders your steps, closes the doors, opens the doors, brings you to a place of favor and promotion that you never designed, that you never planned, that you never strategized, that you never had any big, massively clever thing going on. He is the one who leads you. Amen. That's the way we live it. That's the way of living in rest and living in ease with God. And so I love that. Is this okay? I mean, some of you are looking at me like, well, did you actually preach that? That's actually quite good. You know what I mean? It's like, here, we should go back and look at that series. I talked about protection. So we have purpose. See where I'm going with this? Purpose, presence. And I talked about protecting your heart. I said, keep your love on. See this year, keep your love on. Because here's a newsflash. Okay. Unforgiveness, offense, and bitterness are the primary ways that people miss their purpose. Why? Because it robs them of presence. If you want to miss your purpose this year, then don't put a guard on your heart. Let every thought run riot. Let everything just come and go. Don't be found in the presence of Jesus, because that is a surefire way. That's the same trick that the enemy has time and time and time again. Ultimately, what I would say is it's actually the ultimate display of flesh, actually. You know, I think it's a bit harsh. I remember somebody saying, like, why are you responding? Because the flesh is meant to be dead. So when somebody provokes your flesh, and I was like, I'm not a robot, mate. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't go, I mean, I kind of, let's give ourselves a break here, right? You know, the world is broken, and you're going to have plenty of opportunities to experience that, but you find grace in the brokenness. The thing about Joseph is people who are close to you in your family, you know, they're you know, generally speaking, what we see in this is the ones that can't see what God's put in you because they only see what annoys them about you. I actually led the brothers to want to kill Joseph and then sell him into slavery. Now, I don't know what your family's like. They could be half crazy for all I know, but they probably haven't tried to kill you and sell you into slavery. Just taking a mad stab at the dark there. Unless, I don't know, maybe the further west you go, you know, west of the band, they're going, happens every day. You just got to be on your toes, all right? Newtonards. You know what I mean? But there's an order to this in the book of Joseph. You see, when you have a purpose from God in your heart and you have his presence with you every day, that puts you into a place of protection. You'll not give away your... Here's what I think. You'll not give away or want to give away a big dream from God and favor from God. And I can't imagine anyone's going to want to trade that off to wallow in self-pity and anger towards other people. I can't get that. Why would you do that, folks? Don't play the enemy's game for your life. Do you get that? As soon as you start to go, I hate him. There he goes again. Me. Anyone know? You're all looking at me going, I have no idea what that's like, Pastor. See, the people in my life, they're like, just like, awesome. It's like, see when things annoy you? Like, do you know how I know I'm cross with Penny underneath it all? The way she eats annoys me. Isn't it mad? Like, she's eating like that again. It drives me nuts. Nine times out of ten, doesn't even, but if there's something niggling me, I go, I'm saying nothing. I'm only saying that because she's not here. Do you think I'd be this brave if she's sitting in the front row? But I'm using that as an example to go, when something's annoyed you and got in, everything annoys you then. Wise up, catch yourself on and go, at that point the enemy is just playing me like a whatever. Let me go, is that what I was made for? Do I have his presence with me? Remember my very first talk of the year? Rejoice always and everything give thanks. Oh, way too hard. Let's actually put that into the original language. What do? I turn to grace, I exchange, and then I declare. All right? That's what that means. I turn to grace. In that place, pray without ceasing just simply means to exchange all of your stuff for the faith of God. And when I receive that, I declare over my life, your grace works well. All right? Don't do it this year. Don't have another year that goes past where you go, because the enemy just laughs at us then. You were called for more. That's how I know Joseph actually was a guy who knew how to walk in forgiveness. Because there's no way when he gets the opportunity with his brothers in front of him, when he could have had off with their heads, and he didn't do it. He actually breaks down and is full of compassion for them. His heart breaks because he loves them. Now that's supernatural, right? Has to be. But that's what we see here. Holy smokes, I need to go quick. I think what I would say is this, is don't trade off the dream of God and the call of God in your life for something that the enemy just serves up to you, cold slops, and go, eat that, right? You've got a purpose. For this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my glory and that everyone else might see too. Amen? How am I doing so far? All right? Okay, good. And I keep doing a Gordon Brown, remember him, the Prime Minister? Every time he talked, he out there, it was really annoying. Yeah, I feel like I'm doing that because I want my ears to pop. So whether it was the brothers, or whether it was Potiphar's wife, or whether it was Potiphar himself, whether it was the baker or the cup holder, you know, I didn't have time to go into it, but you know what all those people are? They just represent things, okay? So they represent family, they represent friends, they represent people in authority. The sources of people who will cause you, if you don't guard your heart, to lose the sense of purpose and the sense of God's presence in your life, and then you miss it. That's just simply what those people meant. I probably explained that. But I want to get on to the new bit today. I've just kind of, oh no, because listen to this, okay? This is good, all right? Because when you find yourself following these things, let me just round it up today. Why will your family be blessed? Now listen, where you have purpose, where you have presence, and where you have protection, it leads you to a position to bless. Amen? That's what I want to round up with today. So hang on to your hats, because what's going to happen, I'm going to teach you just a little bit. I'm going to do it in about 10 minutes. Is that okay? Because this is why your family will be blessed in 2022. Whatever has gone on before, when you get God's purpose for your life, his view for why he put that breath in you today, when you keep that grace call first and foremost center, where every day you feed on grace, you feed on the finished work of Jesus, you feed on his favor, and you don't let anything get in the way of that. You protect that. You keep that guard on your heart. You make the choice not to indulge the flesh, as Paul says, but to lean into love, exchange your weakness for his fullness, and declare it over your life. You will find yourself in a position where you'll go, holy smokes, but your family will be there feeding from the goodness that God has put in you. Let me show you how that happens. It's Benjamin. Remember I talked about Benjamin? This is how we know that this generation, you see, it's a generation that can expect to be blessed. Remember in Genesis 43:29, when Benjamin is brought in front. Benjamin, remember, is the youngest brother. All right, he is the child. Benjamin and Joseph are brothers. The other 10 brothers have a different mother. Leah, the picture of law. Rachel, meaning you, she's the mother of Joseph, and Benjamin's the youngest. All right, so Benjamin is a picture of this generation, we believe, in these times. And when Benjamin is brought in front of Joseph, Joseph being a picture of Jesus, all the brothers are expecting, we're dead, right? And what does Joseph say when he sees the brothers? A picture of what God is saying, not just to the church, but to the people out there. That's why he goes, don't be praying for them. I have already said, God be gracious to you, okay? There is judgment from God, of course, but that judgment was put on Jesus. Do you understand that? And all people have to do is come to Jesus and exchange their sin and their mess and be transformed by grace from the inside out. It doesn't happen outside of Jesus' work. Let me be perfectly clear. Grace does not, it's kind of crazy to go, oh, we're full of grace, but we don't really need Jesus. No, grace is Jesus. It's not that God just loves the world and everyone's going to be in heaven in some kind of hippie collective. There is a choice that we make through our free will to go, I choose to believe and I choose to receive forgiveness and to be transformed from the inside out. It's what the Bible calls being born again. We believe that as a church, so let me be perfectly clear about that. But what the Spirit is saying to the church today is, God be gracious to you. If ever there was a time where people needed to hear, God be gracious to you, it's today, isn't it? Goodness knows people are fighting off enough fear, anxiety, lack, worry, everything else that's going on. And then you honestly, the representation of this religious God then thrown into the mix makes people go, you must be joking. If only they could see that this Jesus is looking at them and saying, grace to you. grace to you. That's what happens when Benjamin is brought in front of in front of Joseph. And Benjamin means what? Son of the right hand. It's a place of favor. As a people today, we're in the place of favor. We are marked by righteousness. And I said, don't confuse righteousness and right behavior. Two different things. Righteousness, the gift given to you. And let's just read this. He says, he lifted up his eyes. This is Joseph. And he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, Rachel's son, and said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, Genesis 43, my son. And then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. He entered into his chamber, and he wept there. And that's why I said he weeps, because he sees Benjamin, his brother, from Rachel, going, you know, it's this is the point why I've gone through all of this. Do you get that? Joseph is so full of emotion, not just because he's seeing his brother. That's part of it. That's what it says. But there must have been some realization in him to go, I have been placed here, right? In this place of authority. Remember, I've just said to you, move from a place of lack into your place of authority. And Joseph at this point goes, I have been moved here. Why? Because when my family come in front of me, I am in a position. Why? Because I've got God-given purpose. I've got the presence of Jesus in me. It's made me successful. I have protected my heart, and now I'm in a position to bless. Amen. Some of us need to see that again. You see, what happens here is, when the brothers first come to Egypt in Genesis 43:5, he puts them in prison. That's what he does. And Joseph said, unless Benjamin comes, there would be no feast. Now, remember, he gives instructions. Let me just help you, because some of you would be going, it's fine for you to say that, but I know these people, and they're not interested. They're not interested. The instructions are really interesting here. He says, I'll keep Simeon. You go back and get Benjamin. Now, when Benjamin arrives, what does Joseph do? I'm going to just explain this to you in a minute. Okay? He says, give them bread. So whenever people come to Jesus today through us, the Lord says, give them bread. Feed them. Right? Meet their needs. And when grace comes, the feast actually begins. But what's really interesting is all the brothers were blessed, even the ones under law. They were given grain and money. Remember, their donkeys are full. Everything that they had spent to get there to bring food, Joseph is able to replenish for them. And there's this sense of God blessing this generation, even if people are under law and people who don't even know. That's the goodness of God, right? I love that. I love the fact that these brothers, those born of the law, are blessed by God. That's why we never criticize any other church. Do you get me? I don't like grace people who go, no, they just don't preach the right message. Hold on a second. I know that. Of course, we want them to see the fullness of God's grace, but let's keep our hearts off. Why? Because God's blessing. You get that? It's really important. It's really, really important. I went through a period when we were starting this church where people were really, are you this or are you that? Are you this or the other? And I went, I actually don't know sometimes how to dress myself in the morning. And you're asking me like deep theological questions about what tribe I belong to. Are you half crazy? Like, seriously, I don't know whether I'm stuffed or mounted. Never mind whether I'm an antinomian and I'm pro-millennial, post-millennial. What? Oh, give me a break. All I know is that the goodness of God be gracious to this generation, means no matter where people are at on their journey, God is good. But look what happens to those who are under grace. Let's have a look, all right? Genesis 43:22. The brothers go, I don't know who put this money in our sacks. You see, Joseph, picture of Jesus, whenever they're going back, he stuffs their sacks full of money. And they're on the journey and they start to check and they go, where did all this come from? They didn't know it was Joseph blessing them, right? That's what happens today. You know, this is why, you know, even the people of Israel, the Jewish people, so many of them are blessed. They punch above their weight. They're very blessed, but they reject Jesus. Now, the Lord wants them to come to know Jesus. But it's Gentiles, it's you and I as well, all right? Now, what does Joseph say? Joseph tells Simeon to wait, right, until Benjamin comes. Does anyone know what Simeon means? Hearing, right? That's what the name Simeon means. So what it means is, this, like, the son of favor, if you like, okay, would be, like, hearing would be bound, sorry, right? Simeon would be bound, keep him here until this generation comes. But when the generation of grace comes, hearing, Simeon is released. Do you get that? What this is telling us is when we make a decision to go, they don't want to hear, the Lord's saying, I have released this generation to hear, not just hear, but in here, the grace of Jesus. Because in this generation, hearing is released. Does that make sense? It's like Simeon in the New Testament, for those of you who know your Bibles well. You know, it's like in Luke 2, like Simeon was mute until the Messiah would come, right? But when he sees Jesus, he's released. I guess what I'm trying to say is you live in a time of hearing. Do you get that? Some of us, when did we convince ourselves that people out there don't want to know about Jesus? Can somebody explain that to me? At what point did we convince ourselves that it's out there, they don't really want to know? I'm not so sure that that's the full picture. Because according to the word, when grace comes, hearing is released. When grace comes, hearing is released. I'm trying to encourage some of you for your families today. So it might seem like, you know, you're knocking on that there. But stop, I don't want to stop trying to get them saved. Just give them grace. God be gracious to you. Give them bread. And at some point, as that is watered and watered and watered, they will come to faith. Because why? We don't live in a generation that are bound. We live in a generation with their hearing released. That's why Joseph said, keep Simeon bound until grace comes, Benjamin comes. Isn't that good? See, some of us need a shift in our hearts because we've kind of gone, they don't want to know. And here's what's interesting. See, when the enemy puts that into your heart, what does it undermine? The first thing that God's trying to do in you, which is build your purpose. For this purpose, I've raised you up, that you might know me, but also that this world might know. But the world doesn't want to know. Really? Has God got it wrong? Did he not know what he was talking about? There's Jesus saying, stop standing to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Pray for laborers to go. He's like, we need to pray for people to go and actually just be a generation that says, God, be gracious to you. And we go, oh, no, I don't really think the Lord's got that one quite right. Because actually, they don't really want to know. Not according to the word. This is a generation where they have been unbound. That gives me hope. Do you know why? Do you know what that gives me? I don't know about you. Think about those people today who maybe aren't saving in the meeting, as we would say in Belfast. And you've given up hope. And you've gone, I've prayed, I've stood, I've shouted, I've done all the rest. And the Lord says, can I just say to you this? This is a generation that will hear. They're going to hear, right? And they're going to hear because you've been raised up. And when they're in front of you, you just say, God be gracious to you. Isn't that good? Let me just finish with this one thing, because I've taught for far too long. Is it just me? Is it roasting in here? I thought I was getting one of those hot flushes that's infecting our house at the minute. Gee whiz. We're all suffering in the Too Good House. That's all I'm going to say. I absolutely love this. I love this. Just let me just skip down. I'm just reading through here. I could take this a number of ways, but I just want to say this. How do I know that in a generation of God's grace, with hearing being unbound? Because whilst the brothers receive and they don't know where it comes from, Benjamin receives so much more. This is why I love grace. In this generation, right, Joseph clothes his brothers, right? He's in a high position, Joseph, right? Second in the land. So this wouldn't have been your cheap stuff, right? I mean, he probably wasn't getting it from Primark. He had probably gone to Marksies. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, top quality thread stuff, right? He wasn't a cheap guy. Now, Benjamin, the son of favor, didn't do anything different to what all the other brothers did. But he received 5 times more food, 300 pieces of silver, and everything, the donkeys were loaded up, okay, with all the good things of the earth. In fact, we're told that there were 10 donkeys, right? I told you a few weeks ago, 10 represents the whole. So the picture here is, if you are part of this generation of grace, right? You can expect for your family, right? As part of this generation, because you're not the generation of law. In this story, when you're standing before Joseph, the picture of Jesus, he says to you, 5 times more than anything else will I bless you, 5 times more than anyone else. 5 times being the number of grace, right? 5 times more for you and for your family. In fact, that 5 times more, when you look at the 10 donkeys and 10, it's just a representation of it all. Everything that you need. Because, you know, when we say these kind of things, and sometimes I don't think half of us actually believe them. And with this, I'm going to finish. Say, oh, Lord, you have it all. Everything that is yours is mine, apart from everything I don't have, right? And I can't really believe for all of that anyway, because that's just way too mental to even think about that in my head. How do you actually work that out? So the Lord gives us these pictures, and he goes, anytime you see 10, it just represents everything. So when the Lord puts 10 donkeys full, he needs you to see that it's an example, an illustration of everything in the earth is now given to this generation. Amen? That's why we go back to purpose at the beginning and go, stop worrying about yourself. Because when you get to the end of this story, you see you're part of a generation that stands before somebody where you could have been judged and put to death. Instead, he says, I'm going to be gracious to you. And under grace, you're going to get so 5 times more, representing all that is mine is now yours. Amen? And for that purpose, I've raised you up. How's that? Some of us are going to let go of the lack. Yeah? Some of us are going to let go of the low thinking. Some of us are going to let go of the anger and the frustration. Some of us are going to prioritize the presence of Jesus, whatever it is. For whatever one of you, can I just say this? You're called for purpose this year and for every year to come. Don't miss it. Grace is the most incredible journey. The God of grace is the most incredible adventurer. You know, I wonder what a man or a woman fully alive, prospered, healthy, strong, peaceful, gracious, loving, secure, not stressed but blessed, would actually do to the world out there. I kind of think, and it's only my thoughts, but this I'm definitely done. This is the bit where the shepherd's crook comes out from the side of the stage and weeks me off, right? Don't you just hate it when pastors go, I'm just about to finish, and you go, brilliant, thank goodness. Oh, he's still talking, any chance, mate? I am done. I guess just to go, yeah. There's so much more that we've yet to see. So much more for you yet to walk into. And I honestly believe that. I believe when we break, when we break with the patterns of the past, which is fleshly, it's just kind of the world with Jesus bolted on, right? Not Jesus, then everything else. I honestly believe that in that place, in this generation, as you receive grace upon grace, as you receive goodness, as you receive favor, that people are going to notice. You don't need to stand and preach and shout to the north, the south, because they're going to look at you and go, what is it that God has done in you? Because I see through these eyes and you're a wee bit crazy. But surely there's something of God on your life. Amen? Does that give you hope today? So what did I say? Find that purpose. I'm not talking about becoming a missionary to Newton Arts. I'm talking about God. You know what? Because you definitely need a call of God for that one. Amen. And even at that, I don't know. I'm going to get a check in my spirit for that one. But what I'm going to say is this. It's your... See where God's planted you. Whether it's Bangor, Ballymena, you know, somewhere else, it's like... The purpose is just in that place to show grace. Secondly, all right, what was the second one? Oh, come on, I'm only joking. It's all about his presence. Feed on grace every day. Protect your heart, and then you're in a position to bless. Amen. Stand to your feet. Worship, guys, come on up. All right. Enjoy that. Thank you for that underwhelming round of applause. And can you give me some... Are you going to do it? Okay, we're going to get ready. We're going to... Adam's going to come and lead us in communion. So if you get your communion ready this morning, and we're going to worship together as you go out. But let me just speak over you before Adam comes and just say, Lord, I thank you that everyone in this room is called. Thank you that everyone in this room has the opportunity today, Lord, to receive grace upon grace. And I speak that over you. Speak that over your kids, your grandkids, over your sons, your daughters, your husbands, your wives, your aunts, your uncles. I pray that this year would be a year of five times more of God's goodness and graciousness. Father, thank you that we're not bound by the world and by what the world is going through. We're in it, but we're not off it. Lord, our authority is a higher authority. It's your name. And so we fall fully under your grace today. And all God's people said, amen.